God's grace that we're going to get there one day, amen. That peace and assurance that we have once we've accepted Jesus, that this is not our home. We'll meet him one day. This is amazing grace. In the chorus of this one, a little bit different than just the regular amazing grace. It says, my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. I hope that you are so thankful and blessed for that each day that you live in your walk with Christ. So let's sing this out.
Save the wretched.
next song we haven't done in a while. The first time I did this was at our ladies' tea. And I know that something I've struggled with over the years is, at times, anxiety and fear is one of those things that kind of gets me. Luckily, I have a husband who is completely the opposite and sometimes talks me off the ledge there, you know, just sometimes. But I know that I really, there's no need for me to fear. That's what this song is about. The chorus is, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And if I could just get my head around that and grasp that truth like a child, like I trusted my parents when I was a kid, that's what I need to do so much more with God. And that he has my back and he holds my every moment, my every waking day. And if I can just get there, I know that he has so much more for me. And if I get held in that fear, it holds me back from doing the things I need to do. So if you guys remember this song, you can feel free to sing along. If you don't, just capture the words.
Unravel me,
next one's called I Want It All. You know, as I've grown up being a Christian, being a kid, it really never cost me too much to be a Christian. Going to church, whatever, if you chose to do that, great. I think we're coming into a time now where we're starting to get some pushback on that, and some of what we believe is being questioned and canceled, if you will, for a better word. So I think we're in times that are coming up that it's going to cost, our faith is going to cost us. So we need to know what we believe. Do we want it all, or do we want just the good stuff and the easy stuff and the easy times? Because there's going to be some hard times. And I don't say that to make you fearful. I say that because we know who holds our future. We know the God of the universe, and he's got us. But we need to trust him that we're going to be okay, and this is not our home. And so if you guys know this song, just proclaim that truth that you want it all. All of what God has in store for you, that you're not missing out on the things he wants you to do. So let's sing this. What a wonderful name it is, and most importantly, what a powerful name it is. Let's sing this out this morning. Okay. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God and the Lord.
What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus.
Guys, I've been wrapping up this series today. This Just Keep Living, and I hope that you found it challenging over the last few months. You know what? I've really loved this series. I think that it's been timely. And Peter, what has he been doing? He's been giving us really this self-improvement seminar, right? That he wants for the church, for you and I, to be at our very best, even though there's trying times. How many of you, right, have been finding it trying? Yeah, right? Like, it's hard sometimes to let your light shine when there's so much darkness around. It's hard to smile when there's so much to frown about. But Paul, or Peter, is still calling us here to letting our light shine and to living a godly life. And you know what? I want to say thank you once again, as I've been doing over the last 2 months, that you guys have been awesome. It's been beautiful seeing the church love the community in the midst of the last 2 year storm. That I have heard you and your efforts mentioned countless times. People saying, you know what, I love what your church is doing. I love that people are checking in on others. I love that people are going to get groceries or medications. I love that you guys are helping heat in the midst of the storm. All of those things, time and time again. The latest thing was, thank you so much for thinking of the kids in a time when sometimes they've been missed. And it's been crazy, it's been awesome, but you guys have let your light shine in the midst of the pandemic. And I know that that hasn't been easy, but it's been beautiful and it's been amazing. And thank you for doing your best to continue to live a godly life. Well, I want to read this passage one more time in its fullness, so that we could kind of have those eureka moments. You'll remember some of the things highlighted in past messages, and it's a good reminder. So 2 Peter 1, starting to read at verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess all these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sin. Church, I hope that you have been wrestling these words to the ground, that you've been heeding what Peter is trying to challenge us with, that you've been working on all those additions, because I know they're not easy, but it's beautiful. And we're not saved by our works or our efforts, amen? But if we love Jesus and he truly is the name that we proclaim him to be, wouldn't we want to be at our very best for him? Amen? Wouldn't we want people to see the change that he can make, and we would want to put our very best foot forward? Wouldn't we be striving to be better today than we were even yesterday? Amen? So living this godly life, that's how we're effective. That's how we're productive. And I hope that you've been adding those qualities to your life, that you haven't been ignoring them. All right? He refers to it, those who ignore these qualities are blind. I don't want us to be blind, right? Forgetting that we have been forgiven. I hope that you never forget that you've been forgiven and what you've been forgiven of. This passage is such practicality. There's so much that you can take from it. So for instance, how many love to be successful? Of course we do. Well, don't you want to be successful in your faith first and foremost? Yeah. And if you are successful in your faith, well, then guess what happens? Then all of a sudden success starts to bleed into other areas of your life. Don't you want to make a difference? Of course you do. But shouldn't that start in the faith world? And then when that takes root and takes hold, then all of a sudden you're making a difference in your family settings, in your work settings, in your relationships. Don't you want to be committed with all of your heart? Yeah. Well, shouldn't that be true of your faith? And so we need to heed that advice. And I was thinking of this, John 10:10. What Peter is calling us to is this life to its fullest. Right? That you and I have been made to experience life to its fullest. And doesn't that sound amazing? Right? Life that is complete. And yet so many times in churches around the world, I see people that are missing that fulfilling life. Right? Like Christians that I talk to, and they're bound and bound and bound and bound. They live in fear. They struggle from one struggle to the next struggle. They have lack of confidence. There's a whole bunch of things that they're wrestling with. And I'm going, this is not the life that God has designed for you. You need to feel life to its fullest. Doesn't that sound incredible? To experience seasons that have no discouragement or pain? And when pain and discouragement come, they're still not our focus. Why? Because that's not life to its fullest. And we are so focused in on the King of Kings and that powerful name. Well, I want to ask you this morning as we close this series, have you found yourself settling from time to time? Maybe you're in a season right now where you've settled. And if you've had those low moments, here's the deal. Sometimes the cycle is this, because we're human and we're sheep and we seem to revisit the things that are hard on us. We find that, you know what, we have victory, and then all of a sudden we're drugged down again. Oh, and we live in self a little more, and then all of a sudden we're reminded, no, we can rise above self. It's no longer I that live. And then Christ starts living in you, and you're going, man, I'm on the mountaintop even when the valley is all around me. And then all of a sudden we look at the valley too long, and then we sink down again, and we find that pattern of up and down, up and down, up and down. I want you to know that you don't need to settle for that. You, the church, are made for more than settling. You're designed by the Heavenly Father to thrive in this life. Right? What did Jesus do? He thrived. And he was your prototype to show you how to live a life that was available to you. Not being bound by regions, not being bound by opinions, not being bound by money, not being bound by work. Jesus was free. And was there darkness that was all around him? Yes. If you know the whole story, right? His physical being took a punishment, but the physical being didn't matter. Why? Because he never settled, because it was always the glory that was on his mind. If we could capture this scripture, then all of a sudden our souls would be made whole, and our hearts could be whole, and our minds could be whole, and we could understand what life to its fullest is. But I've never finished this passage during the last 2 months. I want to finish it today because I didn't want it to distract you. Listen to this. 2 Peter 1, starting to read it, verse 10. He says, Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want us to catch this. Here is the result of some of those efforts. Does he love you where you are? Yes. But again, he loves you so much, he doesn't want to leave you there. He doesn't want for you to settle in this life. He wants you to have life to its fullest. And what Peter is saying here in this summation, after this list, he's saying, you know what? If you make every effort to invest in your spirit and to proclaim that you are a child of the King, right? To confirm your calling, your life, right? Your life will be a beacon for the world, and all of those efforts can keep you from stumbling, and you're going to have a rich welcome into eternity. Are you kidding me? Think about that. He says, you will never stumble. Whew. You know, I take testimonies and say, who here has experienced that today? But you know what? If you've really experienced that today, you're humble enough that you probably wouldn't put up your hand, so there's no sense on asking that. But think about that with me for a minute, that he says, you will never stumble. Can you imagine a life like that? A future where sin no longer dictates where you will go or where you will visit? Think about that, because you know what? A lot of us, you know what? That's a very real reality. A future where sin doesn't define you. A future where sin doesn't stop you. A future where sin doesn't cause sticking points in your life. Think about that for just a moment with me. Right? That's why we're talking about freedom sessions. That's why we try to do Bible studies. That's why we are having those private meetings with our youth, right? Even though there's so much that we can't do, we certainly don't want our faith and our growth in the Lord to be hindered, and we certainly don't want to stumble. Not now, not in this time. God's desire for you is that you would never stumble. So again, I didn't say it, Peter said it, but think about who's writing this, right? Here's a guy who had problems. Peter put his foot in his mouth all of the time. Can anybody relate to that? Woo! Right? Like when God asked me to speak for a living, I said, you must have the wrong feller. Let me check for ID. And God was like, no, it's me, and it's really going to be you. And I'm going, this can't happen. God, I can't get through a message. I can barely get through a sentence when it comes to speaking without offending, without cussing. What? And he called me to it. Well, I can understand Peter. Peter was like that. Can you relate to that? And think about this. The same guy, he was rebuked by Jesus. He said this, get thee behind me, Satan. Doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? How many of you could say, you know what, you've had those moments where you've made such a mess that you're sure Jesus was looking at you and going, hey, if this is all the help you're going to give me, Satan, then why don't you just get out of the way? Like again, he doesn't feel that disappointment in us because his character is so above us. But there's been times where I know that I have been a colossal failure, and I'm sure if Jesus was with me physically, he would have rebuked me. Did you ever feel that way? And you know what? We celebrate that. I was even talking about it with somebody after church, after first service, this idea that Peter was the one who got out of the boat. Yes, but let's look at that. He got out of the boat only to moments later almost drown, right? And so you go, okay, right? He had faith issues, right? Jesus, when he was praying for calm and strength at his worst moment, praying for calm and strength, what does Peter do? He starts cutting pieces off of people. Thanks, Peter. I don't know if you got the memo, but I'm kind of going through something right now, and I need you to put the sword away. Right? Have you ever been there? And to make matters worse, when Jesus felt like he probably needed him most, because Jesus confesses in those moments, why did he pray so hard in the garden? Why was it such a stressful moment to the point where he would sweat blood? Because he knew that he was going to go through it alone. That God couldn't look upon sin when he started to take your punishment, that he was going to go through it alone. And when he needed somebody, guess what Peter did? He denied him, but more than once even. And to make matters even worse, like I love that the Bible is so real. Like there's the gospel, and Jesus said, I'm going to call you Peter. And what did he tell him he was going to do? He said, upon you, this rock, I will build my church. Okay? Go back in the Gospels. After Jesus had died and was resurrected, before Peter had saw him, there's one Gospel that records it. What was Peter found doing? Was he found getting ready to build the church? Was he found being the rock? No. He was found going back fishing. Because he was feeling sorry for himself, and he thought that the weight was just too heavy. And who comes when he's fishing but the same fella who came that very first time? And he's cooking Peter breakfast on the shore. And he's saying, now, let's not forget the plan, buddy. Even when he'd started the ministry, Peter was the one who fought with Paul. Right? On a couple of fronts, they started fighting. And he said, look, you are preaching to people that I am not called to preach to. And they started to understand that even in the mess, he said, you know what? Distance, even in ministry, can be a good thing. You go over there and I'll stay over here. This is the guy who's telling us that we don't have to stumble. Really? But you know what? I can relate to him. This is what I want to do this morning. Everybody close your eyes just for a moment. Again, I told first service it's because I have ADHD. I don't even close my eyes when I tell you to close your eyes because I get scared of the dark. What's going on? What's Neil doing right now? Right? So, but this just helps you focus. If you can do it, do it. If you can't, look at me and we'll have awkward moments, right? But I want to ask you some questions in the quietness of this moment. Right now in your life, what are you struggling with? Right now, what is the battle that is raging? Right now, let's call it what it is. What are you settling with? What are you settling for? Maybe you have relationships that are out of balance and falling apart. I want you to know that God has more for you. Maybe money is consuming you right now. I want you to know that God has so much more for you. Maybe it's work issues, even with mandates and all of that nonsense that has had to be. It seems like this overwhelming focus for you. I want you to snap out of that. That should not be your focus. Maybe you are feeling like you're completely alone, that it has been 2 years and you've put on a smile, but deep down inside you feel like you are alone and you are dying. Or maybe you're just tired and you're ready to throw in the towel. You're just so tired. I want you to know that you don't need to stumble in those arenas. God didn't make you to stumble in those areas. You can look up now. Peter is the best messenger for this. Why? Because Peter was a mess. But when you watch the life of Peter, he didn't remain a mess. He gave his best. And all of a sudden, he started to succeed. He put forth his best effort, and all of a sudden, he started to learn how to rely on the Father. He decided that he would be willing, and guess what? God came through. So let me ask you this morning, are you willing? Because that truth is still true for you today. God is waiting to come through. He expects you to settle for nothing. He expects you to live life to its fullest. Do you know that God, listen to me, church, you have to hear this today or the last 2 months have been wasted, right? I don't like wasting time. I haven't got much time. It's not that I know something you don't know. I better clarify that. As far as I know, I'm healthy. I'm pretty busy. You need to hear this. God is bigger than your faults. Church, do you hear that today? That God is bigger than your faults. Do you know that God is bigger than your failures? He doesn't see those failures. He sees you. God is bigger than your frailties. And like we talked about last week, His love is perfect. His love is pure. His love is overwhelming. It's a feast. It's constant. It's complete. It's utterly unstoppable. And His love is for you. Don't settle for anything less. Don't focus on anything less. Peter had problems, but God was bigger than the sum of all of his problems, and that truth is for you. God is bigger than your issues. And this morning, I need you to take a moment and to remember that. So here's what I'm going to do. One more time, close your eyes. I want you to visualize this. I want you to visualize this. Whatever you are holding on to, whatever that struggle is, whatever that arena of death that you've been called to, whatever you're gripping right now, whatever is holding you in your fears and your anxieties, I want you to let go. I want you to let go of it. Just in your mind's eye, release it. Release it. Let go. Whatever the problem is, whatever the struggle is, I want you to release it. Let go. I don't want it to be your focus this morning. Okay? And I want you to take hold of this truth. So you got to let go of it. Let go of it right now in the name of Jesus. And I want you to hear this, church. These are the things that I want you to take hold of. John 15:15. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. Can you take hold of that today, that God calls you a friend? The most powerful being in all of the universe considers you a friend. Take hold of that. Here's another one, Romans 8:14-15. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption. And by Him, listen to this, you can cry, Abba, Father. Take hold of it. Take hold of it. Take hold of it. You are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. Take hold of it. Take hold of it. You can cry out to Him, Father. Here's another one. I want your hands to be so full that you have to ask your heart to help hold some of these truths today. So 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. You're new, you're new, you're new. Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for anything less. This one again, you guys know Ephesians 2. Listen to this. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. God's handiwork. Think about that. Created to do good things, good things, good things. Colossians 3:12, therefore, as God's chosen people, you are holy and you're dearly loved. Take hold of it. Take hold of it. Take hold of it. Settle for nothing less than those truths. And there's many more, but settle for those ones. You guys can look up again. You know, it's not dependent upon your performance. It's not dependent upon your attitude. Here's the deal. You are loved, and he's just that big. God trumps all. God is over all. God is bigger than all. And you are on his mind. And he loves you so much that he refuses to leave you where you are. And just like Peter, he longs for life to its fullest for you. Life to its fullest. Doesn't that sound amazing? Right, here it is. Make every effort, brothers and sisters, to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you'll receive a rich welcome into eternal kingdom. Settle for nothing less, nothing less, nothing less. Add daily to your faith and cherish it because it is precious. Everybody, okay, close your eyes for the last time. Anybody listening on the podcast, that's how fun it is. Like ADHD makes me bounce around all over the place. It's even more fun to watch live. I want to pray for you. Life to its fullest. It awaits you. A life without stumbling awaits you. A life where you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're a child of the King. Right? Think about some of those truths. A life where you know the Master's business. Why? Because you're a friend. You're a friend. You're adopted. You're family. Right? That the old you is gone, the new you is here, that he has good for you to accomplish. Wow. That you're chosen, you're chosen, you're holy, and you're loved. Ugh. Church, grab it, fill it, grip it. I pray that your hands and heart would be so full that you settle for nothing less than the truth. Let's pray, Father God. I want to say thank you for these hard words, this crazy list by a guy who at best was a mess. And yet, Lord, you called him to more. You called him to more. You called him to more. We just couldn't settle. I pray that you would make us hungry, that we would never settle, God, but we would be found seeking you, chasing you, adding to our faith daily all the attributes that you long for, Lord, that we would let our light shine, shine, shine. That we'd understand our place. And Lord, as we look to you, take us to places we can't even dream of. Let us never settle. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your leading. Oh, you're faithful to finish this good work. Well, Lord, today we say, continue it in us. Continue this good work in us, and bring it to completion until the trumpet sounds. That's where I want to be. Let it be our desire. We pray all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen.